We have a new series that we're talking about called Small Things, Big Difference. Small Things, Big Difference. And I'm excited about this. I know if you get a hold of this and get a hold of some of the stuff that we're talking about, this will make a massive difference in your life, okay? A massive difference in your life. So pretty much, have you ever thought, okay, so you know how you see people and you have a look at their life and you just look at them and you go, you know what, that person's got it all together. It might be in a certain area of their life and you just think, man, they have got it all together. I want to be like them. And you look at them and it might be, you know, in terms of their business or finances. And I've got different people in my life that I look at and I kind of you look at them and ask them questions, try and figure out what they're doing. And but you look at them and sometimes we are tempted to think, hey, what is the big change that I need to make to be like that person? What is the one big thing that I need to do so that I could be like them or have the success in that area that they're having? But you know what I've figured out? And the thought behind this whole series is this. It's not usually the one big thing. It's a lot of small things. And the thought behind this series is this, it's that the small things that we do consistently, right, and often the things that no one sees us doing often, right? So it's the small things that we do consistently and often unseen lead to or result in the big things that everyone sees or that everyone notices or even that everyone wants in their life. It's the small things. It's often the small things done consistently, okay? I kind of get this. I grew up playing sport. I've played a lot of sport in my life. Currently, I'm a cyclist and I'm a lycra warrior that just gets out on weekends. I'm not racing or anything at the moment. But actually, my original sport, you may not know this, I played a fair bit of rugby, right? True rugby, rugby union. I grew up playing rugby. Yeah, and I played to a reasonable level as well. I captain reserve grade down in the Brisbane Premier competition. I was actually a member of the team of one of the biggest ever upsets ever in the Brisbane rugby competition in the grand final where GPS beat Souths. And if you know the history of rugby, you know Souths are packed with wallabies and everybody hated Souths, right? Because they'd scrape into the finals, but they had all these wallabies that would be playing for Australia. And then during the finals, they'd all come back to the team and they'd clean up and they'd hammer everyone every single year. And they'd won for about a decade the competition every single year, but I was actually sitting on the bench the year that we beat them back in 1996. And you know, there's a couple of sayings they say about old footballers, right? First of all is that you're a long time retired, which is 100% correct. You are a long time retired. The other thing they say about old footballers, the older you get, the better you were. And that is 100% true. I didn't play in that game. I was actually just sitting on the bench. But one thing I did get to do, I got to train with and play with a lot of guys that were really, really good at rugby. They played international or they played for Queensland. I got to train with these guys. And the one thing I actually learned were these guys weren't actually a lot faster, a lot stronger than anyone else on the team. It was the little things they did. It's the little things they did. One of the worst things about playing football is seeing a guy that had all the physical skills and all of the physicality to do really, really well, but they just didn't do the small things. And you'd soon find out first training back when you do this thing called the beep test. Who knows about the beep test? And the beep test is pretty much they'd line cones up first night back. At pre-season, they get everyone there and you'd all line up next to each other and you do the beep test. And what it starts off, it goes beep, and you run to the next cone. Then it goes beep, and then you run back. But what happens is it keeps getting faster and faster and faster, and the unfit guys, they drop out really soon. And you know the guys who haven't been doing the small things on the off-season, because it's there for everyone to see. The coaches are standing on the sideline with their checkboard, their clipboard, writing down everyone's results on the beep test. And you know, right? You know who's been doing the small things. But not only that, these guys, there'd be like little angles that they take to the ball, little things they'd do at line-out time or in the scrum or in the rucks and the mauls, or little angles. It's the small things they did that made a big difference. the small things they did that made a big difference. And it's the same for us. I knew this guy once, and he was really well off. He was quite wealthy. He owned a stack load of homes around the place. He just bought all these properties all around the place. And he was one of those guys, and I was like, man. And me and my friend went over to his business one time, and my friend asked him this question and just said, hey, mate, like, who do you get to wash your cars for you? Thinking, you know, like, yeah, you know, we can get on. And he looked at him like really weird. And you go, elbow grease, mate. That's what he said, elbow grease. I do it myself. If you want to have money, you can't waste money. And that was just his thing. But it was just a little thing that he did that all added up, ended up in the success he had in terms of money. I knew a guy once, he had another story about a guy, he was a bit overweight, he lost all of this weight. And he just rocked up and we were like, man, what are you doing? Like, what's the secret? What's the big thing you did to lose all this weight? And he just said to me, he said, look, you know, I realized I was drinking about 3 or 4 cans of soft drink a day. So all I did was stop drinking soft drink. And that was about 1,000 to 2,000 kilojoules a day. And he lost all this weight. Like, he lost a stack of weight just by not drinking soft drink. It's the small things that make a big difference. Aristotle said this thing. He said, we are what we repeatedly do. We are what we repeatedly do. There's another saying, and it says, successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. See, it's the small things that we do consistently and often that no one else sees that lead to the big things that everyone sees or notices or wants in your life. Okay, so we're going to go on a journey as a church, figuring out, hey, what are some of these things that I can do if I put these things into place in my life? Because see, here's the thing. I know this, right? We all have our goals and our dreams for where we want to be with our life, right? Whether it's work or whether it's families or relationships, whether we might be a business owner or our marriage with our kids, or even, hey, we feel like God's giving us a dream about what he wants to do in the future. And all of those dreams are up here, right? They're up here. But we've got to make sure that the things that we're doing consistently on a daily basis, these small things are taking us where we want to go. Are taking us where we want to go. So we're going to go on a journey together the next few weeks, find out what these things are. I believe, I'm excited about this because I know this is going to help you. I know this is going to help you. If you do some of these things and put some of these things into practice in your life, I know this is going to help you. Okay, so you ready? Buckle up because we're going to do the first thing today. And the first thing is this. You ready? Number one, first thing is put God first. Put God first. The first thing that you can do is put God first. And I'll get the guys to put up Matthew 22, verse 35. And listen to this story. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him, okay, so him in the story, it's a capital H, which means it's Jesus. Okay, so a lawyer, one of the religious scribes or lawyers came to Jesus, asked him a question. He's trying to test him out, and he said, Jesus, what is the great commandment in the law? Or what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And he said, this is the first. The first. Repeat after me. The first and greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, everything we have. What Jesus is saying here is to put God first. Put God first. See, pretty much Jesus there is quoting Deuteronomy, right? So that's a scripture in an Old Testament book near the beginning of the Bible where Moses got the Ten Commandments, right? And the allusion is actually to the first commandment. Okay, because the first commandment is you shall love your God above all, or have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. So we shouldn't love anything else or prioritize anything else or put anything else before God. Before God, what Jesus is saying here is put God first. Our greatest priority should be to put God first. All we have, we give him our best. We give him all our heart, everything we got. We put him first. We prioritize him. And Jesus put this in a few ways, right? He put this in a few different ways. Matthew 6, he's talking about worry and stress and all the stuff that goes on in our life. And he's talking about, hey, he says, don't worry about all this stuff, but seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this other stuff's going to work out for you. Seek God first. Put God first. Put God first. There's another story in Luke chapter 10 about Mary and Martha, right? And Jesus goes to stay with these friends of his, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You probably heard about Lazarus coming out of the tomb. And he's there, and Martha's in the kitchen getting stuff ready because Jesus is there with the disciples. He's just hanging out. They're going to have a meal. He obviously feels comfortable being at her place. Mary isn't helping out getting the food ready. She's sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him. And Martha comes out and says, Jesus, what are you doing? She is not helping. You should let her come in, make her come in and help me out. I've got all this stuff to do. I've got all these things to do. Well, it's really stressful, getting food ready, got all these people here, getting all sorted out. Jesus, you're allowing here just to sit there. And Jesus says, Martha, 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 stop. She has chosen the best thing, and he says, this one thing will not be taken from her. In other words, Jesus is saying, Martha, Mary has chosen her priority, which is me. Me. This one thing, she's putting me first. I'm her priority above all of the cares of this world, above all the stress of getting things done, above everything else that needs to happen. She has chosen to put me first, and I'm not going to take it from her. Put God first. Put God first. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, right, Jesus is about to get... And he knows what's about to happen. He's about to get arrested, and he's praying, and he's absolutely distraught. The Son of God is totally distraught. He's praying to God, and he's going, God, I know what's going to happen. I don't want to go through with this. Please put a stop to it. Take this cup from me. But it's like in his prayer, you read it, and Jesus kind of snaps, and he goes, but you know what, God? Not my will, but your will. See, Jesus lived the life of putting God first, and you know what? The greatest commandment for us, put God first. Say, I'm going to put God first. I'm going to put God first. See, it's clear from the Bible that in our life, God wants to be, he should be, and he deserves to be first. First. God should be first. And you know what? He's allowed to ask that because you know why? Because he's God. I'm just a simple guy. How do we put God first? I'm going to share with you a few things about how we do this. Because it's all well and good to say, hey, yes, I put God first. Okay, see you later, and go about my business, right? But what I want is for this to be pretty practical, to give you some tips on some stuff that you can do and put into place. Okay, we actually shared some of this stuff a few years ago in an awesome message that Pastor John did called First Things First. And I'm going to steal a bit from that, because smart people borrow, but geniuses steal, right? Some of that. But what I want to do is I want to speak to you about something really personal to me and something that's really helped me in my walk with God. But first things first. So how do we put God first? Well, we put God first by putting the first things first, okay? And there's three things that you can put first in your life, three small things that if you do consistently are going to have a massive payoff for you, okay? Three small things that if you do daily, even if no one else knows about it, they have a massive payoff. It's going to change your life, okay? First thing is this. We put God first with the first part of our stuff. We put God first with the first part of our stuff. What does that mean? That means our income, what we have, we give 10% to him, we tithe. Okay? I'm not going to go into this one too much because we've just finished an amazing series called Mastering Money by Pastor John, which is some of the best teaching and preaching on this I've ever heard. But you know what? Pretty much what the tithe is recognizing that everything we have, everything we own actually comes from God anyway. It's not mine, it's his, and I'm a steward of it. So when I bring my tithe or my 10% to God, what I'm doing is actually just returning to him what is already his. And actually the reason behind the tithe, and if you look into it and do your study and read about it, right, the reason behind tithing isn't so much that so we can have lots of money in church and make sure that everything works and, you know, all that kind of gear. The actual reason behind tithing is this. It's actually putting God first. You read about it. Read about it in the Bible. The whole point of the tithe is returning God what's his and putting his first. It's like a statement says, you know what, God? You're first in my life. You're first. And yes, blessing flows. Favor flows out of that. But that's the first thing is this, okay? So first part of our stuff. The second thing that you can do, right, is give God or put God first in the first day of the week. And because you're here today, you're doing that today, which is cool. But I want to encourage us this morning. Let's make a decision, right, that we give God the first day of the week every week. Come to church every week. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and I was like, yes, by a pastor. I was just like, yes, yes, yes. He was telling a story about he was doing an amazing series, probably Small Things, Big Difference or something like that. It wasn't, but he was doing an amazing series that was helping people, right? And he had all these people come up to him and say, you know what, I wasn't going to come to church today, but I'm glad I did. And I hear that all the time. And I'm like, one of the saddest things as a pastor is hearing that when people go, you know, that was an amazing message. I wasn't going to come today, but man, I'm glad I did. And I just think, what? You mean that like coming to church on Sunday isn't in your calendar, isn't in your schedule, like the number one thing that you're going to do? See, being in this place on Sunday is going to change your life. It's going to change your life. Give God the first day of your week. But not just about coming to church. Not just about that. I just let's make coming to church not the result of a coin toss for us and our family. Pastor John and Dan have a saying that they say with their kids, and we say it with our kids, Sundays are for church. If we're on the coast, we're in church. And I know you're looking at me going, yes, but you're a pastor and you have to be here. And that is true, but I'm a pastor because I was coming to church. I'm a pastor because I was coming to church. I'm not coming to church because I'm a pastor. But give God the first day of your week. Don't make it a coin toss. Don't make getting your kids into the presence of God. You know what? We have some amazing kids leaders, and I see some of them here, yes, in the back row. Yeah, I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but some of our kids who serve and then sit, right, on the kids' team. But you know what? They're not babysitters. They're not babysitters. Our kids' team are not babysitters. They're in there. There's a full program inputting into their lives. My kids come home and they tell me stories about what they've learned about in creche. So I've got three kids in creche. They tell me stories about what they're learning about in creche. And some of it's pretty awesome. They come with a little craft and stuff. So it's not just a babysitting thing. But I'm not going to like make a decision on whether I bring my kids in the presence of God to learn about Jesus based on a coin toss or based on how I feel that morning or based on whatever. Because you know what? Sundays are for church. Even beyond Sunday, though, I want to encourage us this morning. Hey, think about Sundays as a day for God where I come to church. I might serve on a team. I might even serve one, sit one, right? Serve one, sit one. So I might serve on a team, maybe in the 8:30 service. I might come to the 10:30, or I might serve in the 8:30 service and come to the 6 o'clock service. But even after church, I want to encourage you here. Like, don't just come to church, but why don't you have some people in your home? Why don't you hang out with family and friends? Why don't you, I know this is a weird word in this day and age, stop and rest. On Sunday, maybe have a nap. Maybe go for a walk and think about some of the stuff that you've heard in church. Maybe think about some of the stuff that God's speaking to you about on a Sunday. Sundays are for church. Let's put God first with the first day of the week. Hey, and here's the third thing, right? So we're going to put God first with all of our stuff. We're going to put God first with the first day of the week. And the third thing that you can do, and this is something that, honestly, God has been working in my life so much on this through this year so far, and I'm going to show you how to do it. It's put God first with the first part of your day. So this is a quiet time or devotionals, all right? And I want to encourage you this morning. My devotionals have just been going through the roof this year, and I want to show you and encourage you on how you can have a 15 to 30 minute devotional. Because I know this will change your life. Okay, so we want to give God the first part of our day. We want to set our day up by having time with God. If you don't know what a quiet time pretty much is a quiet time or devotionals is when you get up in the morning and you spend time just reading the Bible, praying to God, and just setting your day up through just communicating with God. I'm going to show you how to do this in a second, all right? I'm going to show you what works for me. Obviously, this isn't prescriptive because the biggest thing you ought to do in terms of working out is working out what works for you. And that's cool, but there's certain keys that I know that if we do these keys, God's going to help us. Just a few thoughts, though. I've said, give God the first part of your day. And some in here, I know it, some in here are saying, well, I can do this anytime. That's true. That is true. You can do this anytime you like. I understand I've got kids, I've got stuff happening, I've been in the middle of quiet time, the kids come running out with pooey nappies and all that kind of stuff. I get it. But you know what? There's something powerful about giving God the first part. Before anything else, is getting up and giving God the first part before anything else. It also makes sure that you're going to do it. I find if I leave things for later on, later on in the day, you get choked out by the cares of this world and stuff that I'm doing. Another thought, find a space for yourself to spend time with God first thing in the morning. Find a space. I have a green chair sitting in front of a window that looks out over the ocean, and that's my Bible reading space. Find a space. I'm going to show you how you can have like a 15 to 30 minute quiet time, okay? Because I kind of think this, right? How long should a quiet time go for? Well, as long as you can. As long as you can. But I kind of figure this, everyone has got 15 minutes. Like anyone at the minimum can do 15 minutes. But having said that, take as long as you can. I kind of think of it like this, right? Imagine if a young couple got married. Imagine Josh and Shekinah have just gotten married, and I'm having a coffee with Josh, and I'm saying, like, Josh, he's like, give me the one big thing that I have to do for my marriage. And I'm like, Josh, you know what? Why don't you just start off by spending some time with Shekinah to get to know her really well? Could you imagine if Josh looked at me and said, oh, well, how much time do I have to spend with her? What? My response to that would be, Josh, as long as it takes, buddy. As long as it takes. As long as it takes. But you know what? Just spend some time. Just spend some time. So I want to encourage you, just spend some time with God. Spend some time, and as you get going, it'll lengthen out. You'll get better at this. I know some of you, you've been spending time with Jesus every single morning for years and years and years, but I'm hoping to help you out with a few little things today. As long as it takes. The other thing too, think of quiet time, right? Think of it as this. Even if you're spending 15 minutes to 30 minutes in the morning, think of it that you're opening your conversation with God for the day. Think of it like that, right? I'm opening what I'm doing. I'm spending this time with God. It's not like I'm not having this quiet time, ticking the box, and then I'm done for the day. I'm all good. I can get on with my normal life. No. What you're doing, you're spending this time and you're opening the conversation with God for the day. It's like, so I can move on. You might like have your quiet time in the morning, but you might spend some time maybe later on in the day praying for specific stuff. You might pray for, you might be a business owner, so you might get in there early and start praying for your business. You might have stuff going on in your family world, so you might spend extra time praying for your family. You may spend extra time maybe at lunchtime studying the Bible a bit more. You might just feel God. You might pray with your wife or whatever it is. You might spend some time just before you go to sleep just praying like, Dr. Rob Carman said this awesome thing about just before you go to sleep, just praying and just cleansing your mind and getting rid of the junk out of your mind before you go to sleep. You might do that kind of stuff, right? And that's totally cool because what you've done with your quiet time is you've set up your conversation for the day. Awesome. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to write up here and give you a few things, right? So what we're going to do, we're going to give God 15 to 30 minutes, right? And I think of it like this. How do I do this? I want to help you do this, right? Okay. So if I'm giving this time to God, there's kind of two things that I want to include in this time, right? The first thing is Bible. The second thing is prayer. And how does the Bible look? Well, the Bible looks kind of like this. It's like a funnel, all right? How does prayer? Well, there's three forms of prayer, and I'm going to feel a little bit like Mark Kelsey. If you've seen Mark Kelsey preach, you know what I'm talking about. There's three forms of prayer. There's up, there's in, and then there's out. All right? So pretty much, if I'm having a quiet time, and I've found this works for me, right, I find breaking my quiet time up into these things. I used to read my Bible and pray separately, but I've actually discovered reading my Bible first actually works. Because the main way that God speaks to us is actually through the Bible. Through the Bible. So why have I put a funnel there? So what you would do, right, if you've got to say, well, 15 to 30 minute quiet time, we'll break it in two, okay? So the first half you spend on the Bible, the second half you spend in prayer, with the view that, you know what, by doing this, I'm opening the conversation to God for the day, all right? So I'd start off with prayer. Wide at the top, thin at the bottom. So what I'd start off with, like a reading plan, right? So I'd spend some time, and you can get reading plans anywhere. You can buy a Bible in a year Bible. It's like a Bible. You can go on, if you're writing notes, you can write down YouVersion. There's an app called YouVersion on the Bible that has stacks of reading plans, okay? So what you want to do is you want to kick off your time reading the Bible by reading all of the stuff. So I'm doing Bible in a year, but what I do is I kind of, because I'm not your average bear, I do it slightly differently. I read Psalms or Proverbs and some New Testament, right? And then I kind of catch up on my Old Testament. So what I'm doing is I'm reading a plan, I'm getting all this Bible into me with the view that after doing that, I then funnel it down into one verse or short passage. And what I want to do on that one verse or short passage, right, is meditate on it. Now, this isn't Eastern meditation where you're emptying your mind. What we're talking about is biblical meditation where you're filling your mind with the Bible. So when I'm meditating on this, what I do is I grab one verse and I just sit there, and this is what I do, is I just start breaking it down word by word, and what is God trying to say here, and writing as many things as I can as possible about that verse. I might ask myself some questions such as, what does this verse say about God? What does this verse say about me? Are there any promises in this verse that I can stand on? And so I meditate on that and think about it and spend some time meditating on that one verse because I know God's going to speak to me about it. Another option you could do is what's called SOAP, which is a journaling tool where you read a scripture, then you write down an observation about it, then you write down an application for it and a prayer about it. Okay, so what we've got, we spend some time in the Word first. You're reading plan, then you meditate on one verse. Then we get to prayer. And what prayer might look like is, first of all, there's up. So I've talked about the three different forms of prayer. First of all, up. First of all is focused on God, up. Second of all is in, that's focused on me. Third of all is out, that's focused on me praying for other things. So what up might look like? Up might look like worshiping. Might look like a worship song. It might look like something out of the Psalms. There's stacks of Psalms. Psalms is like the book of prayer. It might be a psalm where you're going through a psalm and just lifting God up and thanking Him and praising Him out of that psalm. It might be a prayer where you're just there and you're just praying and you're just lifting up God. God, I praise you. God, I thank you for all the awesome things you've done for me. You're worthy of honor. God, I lift you up and I magnify you above all else in my life. And we focus on God for that first part. The second part is in, where I start to pray for myself. And how that looks, I find when we're praying about ourselves, the easy way to kind of go is to go towards the big stick mentality, where we're praying for ourselves and you think about how bad I am and all the things I've done wrong. But I find when I'm praying for myself, rather than that, I find it helpful to be Spirit-led in it. What do I mean by that? Where I just allow the Holy Spirit to talk to me about me. So how does that look? That might look something like, Holy Spirit, God, I'm submitted to you. My life is yours. Holy Spirit, tell me the things that you want me to do. Tell me the things that maybe there's things in my life that I need to stop. Or if there's any one that I need to forgive or let go of a root of bitterness in my heart that might be there based on other people doing stuff to me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Talk to me, Lord God. You know what? When we pray that, He does. He does. He does. There might be promises that we might pray over ourselves that God has spoken to us about out of His Bible. There might be other stuff that we spend some time praying about ourselves and just allowing the Holy Spirit to talk to us about what we can do in our lives. Thirdly, is out. So when we pray, we've put our focus on God. We've prayed for ourselves and dealt with stuff in our own life and spoken God's promises over our own life. Thirdly, we're praying for other things. For other things. These are called a number of other things, such as intercession or petition. But if you're spending this time in the morning and you're going for a 15 to 30 minute quiet time, what you might do, you might just choose one or two things to pray for. And I want to encourage you, as you're praying for those things, to actually wrestle with God on them. When we're praying for and interceding and petitioning God for stuff in our life, it's not a case of just like, God, oh, can you do this for me? We know what we need to know what the Bible says about it. So if we're praying for healing, we'd be like, God, your word says that by your stripes, Jesus, we are healed. Jesus, your word says that you bore our sickness and carried our infirmities. And so, Jesus, right now I pray for healing in the name of Jesus. So we're wrestling with God. We're petitioning Him. And only focus on one or two things in this zone. And as you do this, I guarantee you, right, you could do this in 15 to 30 minutes. Pray and read the Bible. I guarantee you, as you start doing this, God will speak to you. The Holy Spirit, I guarantee, if you get this going in your life and you do it for a month, you'll come back after a month and you'll just be like, man, you know what? God has never spoken to me as much as He has in this last month. How cool is that? Hey, I want to encourage us. Put God first in our stuff. Give God the first day of the week. Give God the first part of our day. Hey, why don't we close our eyes? Thank you, Lord. God, seal that in our spirits. God, we know that as we do these things consistently, God, we know that as we put you forward first, Lord God, God, that the fruit of that in our lives will flow out. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. You are truly awesome, Lord. Amen. Amen.